I was at complete calm, complete peace, and he let me know it was decision time even then, that he knew I had been suffering. He knew I was tired of dealing with terminal illness. He knew that I wanted to give in, and I had to choose. And he gave me two choices. One was he kind of looked to the left, and beyond the operating room, beyond the chaos, I could see this darkness. And he told me I could leave, but I would have to go without him because it wasn't his will. And I thought, wait a minute. Okay, and I'm laughing now, but I'm not laughing how I laughed. I'm laughing like peculiar, like, ooh, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. But I could stop this type of pain. I could stop it. And then he directed towards the front. I remember this clearly like it happened yesterday. And again, I remember a surgeon was walking past me. I had anesthesia awareness. Don't want to freak anybody out. It happens sometimes. I had that as well. After 8.5 hours of surgery, and I had 1.5 hours left, I actually woke up, and they took care of it. And I remember him walking past and saying, "Knock her out, knock her out." And beyond him was this huge vision, as if we were totally outside of the operating room. It wasn't fully out of body because I could feel my body on the table. And so he shows me laterally. He showed me sunny days, and he showed me beyond that. He showed me darkness, he showed me hills, he showed me valleys, showed me seasons just going straight. And he let me know with just a look that you can go forward like this, I'll be right with you. And I remember my question from my eyes was, as they were working and the cold was going, was in this body with this disease, with the suffering, and he kind of just nodded, and yes. And I thought, wow, I could be relieved from this type of pain, but it's without him, or I could stay in this wretched body. Like Paul says, who shall deliver me from this wretched body of death? But he'll be right with me. I don't know about you, but that's absolutely a no-brainer, and that's why I'm still here. So I hope you allow Jesus to comfort where you mourn, to console you, to show you that there is beauty for ashes, there's oil of joy for your sadness, there's a garment of praise that he'll wrap you in for the spirit of heaviness that you may have, and that we still are and will be trees of righteousness like Mother El. As we grow older, we can continue to grow bolder and kinder for Jesus, because we are the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we're going to try to get a song on for you. Sorry if you don't want to hear more talking tonight. We try to balance it out, but you know, we're dealing with some things, but always prepare in the Lord. So I'm going to see, I'm actually going to stay on, see if we can play this song. You know what? Holy Spirit is so good, because you can hear me when I'm speaking and you can hear this music. I'm just going to play this song. So if you hear me moving in the background, don't trip. It's just your sister Monica over here. They're still working on it right now. So, again, sorry about that. Just stay with us. We're just going to work on it for a little minute. I'm going to continue with the lesson as I get worked around me, too, simultaneously. And God's keeping my focus in this place. I'm going to play for you now, see if we can get the hallelujah time, because I don't think you want me I don't think you want me to tell you any jokes. That's not my thing. I can tell some, but they're not, you know, they're not that great, I don't think. So we'll see. But I want to finish with the lesson too. So let me read some of the scriptures that we have for you. And here they are right here. We talk about in the garden. I want to again say that when we talk about in the garden, we're talking about the different ways that God grows us. We go through a Garden of Eden where we find ourselves facing choices that need to be made. We go through a Garden of Gethsemane where we end up having to also live out those decisions. We go through a Garden of Golgotha where we are willing to see it all the way to the end, which is how, you know, Jesus did on the top of Golgotha when he died for us on the cross. We talk about the Garden of God that's talked about in the end days, the eschatology, the revelation. The book of Revelation talks about how salvation comes back for us fully to show that it's all worth it. Garden of God is also known as paradise. And so we're going to be talking about that in the following weeks as well. All for this month, Garden of Eden, this weekend, Gethsemane, most likely the weekend after that, and so forth and so on. Remember, we have an event coming up on October 20th. That is the SITG, TGIF. We're going to have one of those Friday, one Friday every month, because I'm trying to be obedient to what the Lord said. So one Friday right now, every month, at least one. Every month, the first one is October 20th. We're calling it the SIT, the TGIF SITG. Thank God it's Friday, standing in the gap. And it's going to be just simply a heart-to-heart moment. You'll hear about it advertised during the daytime as well on the station. And just want to be the first to let you know that we are doing that October 20th, which is a Friday night. And that'll be at the Salem Center on 7235 Bonneval Road. And that will be a part of what we're doing there. And it is to come together, to have prayer and praise, to hear our word, and to also be able to ask questions or share information about that word. You know, the people of God learn how to become better people of God by coming together. And it's called good pedagogy, where we actually learn. You know, students study. We go through a phase in our lives where we study, because that's what we're supposed to do. But then we tend to kind of regurgitate most of what we study. Sorry for the language, but we tend to just kind of spew it back up onto paper and don't take certain things with us forward. Good pedagogy, especially in speaking of Christianity, means that we hear a lesson or preach word or taught word, and we, even over the radio or in person or in churches, and we have an atmosphere where we can apply that lesson, that word, to our lives, and we can apply our lives also to that word. And so that's what we're doing. And as we hear, you know, as I hear Sis Nikki describe something that she's going through or how that relates to her, then that helps me too in things that I've gone through. And it helps us to not only learn from how God uses one person, but to hear how God works in the lives of different people, how he blesses us through what he does. And so that's a good thing. So we thank him for that. So we're going to be doing that so we can share together. You know, as we pray together, we can slay together the very evils that try to overtake us. So we're going to continue to be encouraged about that. So look, stay with us right here on Praise 107.9 as we continue to talk about in the garden.
The ultimate gospel experience. W300 CU Jacksonville and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach. The new Praise 107.9.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your character. You will win, win, you will win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finances. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will win. Oh, you will win. Yes, you will.
Thank you, God, for that. Got a few clips for you. Again, this is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. We do apologize for the little technical things we had going on, but thanks for staying with us. We are here for you, and you still can. Phone's working. Well, so you can still call in 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251, and let me be here for you with your prayer requests, your praise report, any frustration, irritation, or celebration that you want to share with us, that we can be a blessing to you and you be a blessing to those who are listening as well. But you can do it on air or off air. Either way, we are here for you. I want us to hear tonight from Miss Shonda Pierce, who's really good, like her, and a little Mark Curry. Mark Curry's doing stand-up again. I love his, you know, I always know, truly believe that comedians are just so intelligent, just ultra-intelligent, so gifted by God to do what they do. And so I love all comedians, no matter what the language is. I can get past it to hear whatever lesson God may have. you know, as long as the content is good, I'm not offended as a former person who cursed. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. But I definitely don't want to, you know, I don't listen to it on a regular basis. So it's really good to be able to get some comics who have that great gift and can do it in a way that we can hear it without hearing profanity. You know what I mean? It's just, profanity is what it is. No judgment. I'm just saying, even for myself, I thank God for forgiveness and for making it very clear not to do that anymore as of like 23 years ago. And so I got my little baby curse words. I actually got a clip for that too, but I don't think we're going to play it tonight. I'm going to play it for you probably tomorrow or next weekend. I saw that. But I want us to hear Shonda Pierce first. Profanity is, that's what I was going to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Profanity is what it is. It is pro, it's extra, ultra, fame, foul. And so God told me, and that's what I'm sharing with you. Again, not judgment, just as we get better in these gardens, let's grow. Let's grow. And God has given us intellect and vocabularies and the ability to learn words to better express ourselves. Just think about what he told me. I'm telling you that the same mouth I was using to say things that were horrible as a soldier in the army, I was using the same mouth to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, to him. And that wasn't cool with them, and that's no longer cool with me. So I hope that you get to a place, if you're one of those who curse or cuss, because I had a PhD in profanity, so I'm just trying to tell you. Let's get to Shonda Pierce, all right? Right? That's cute.
Yes.
Thank you.
the new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Kiara Shear, thank God for that. Look, this is Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica, getting things taken care of around me, but staying focused on you. We also have some prayer requests that we need to share with you. And so I want to do that at this time. Turn that down for me. Thank you. Okay, and so let's get started. We're a little off from our normal, but God is still here, and so we're going to pray about these things. I was talking to someone early today, so I actually have a prayer request for her. It's interesting when we hear Christians talk about being Christians, and we are, and, you know, we try to stand in the gap here, so what I'm going to say, please don't be offended, but I want you to consider being a Christian sitting next to another person on a bench, right, at a park, and I'm sitting next to a woman, and we have conversation we've never met. And let's say one woman says, two women, one woman says that she is a Christian, but she is not going to pray for Trump. Verbatim, that's a quote. And so the other woman, which is me, says, well, I am going to pray for Trump. I think I should pray for Trump. I think as a Christian, God wants me to pray for Trump. And so, and she's older than I am, so she kept cutting me off and saying, I'm not going to pray for him. I said, okay, I'll pray for the world, but I'm not praying for Trump. I can't even imitate how she did it because it was so rough. I call people like that tough cookie because she's as sweet as she is tough. And so, you know, she's not pleased with some of the ways and the ways that he acts and the things that he does. You know, she's not the only one. But here's my point. Why we pray, we try to stand in the gap between even Christians at times, because one woman who's sitting to my right, I could tell she started feeling kind of offended and had that look like, well, if you're a Christian, then you're supposed to pray for anybody and everybody. And so we stand in the gap now to pray for Christians who are Christians in the connotation of it and not as Christ-like as we could be. And welcome to the club. I'm talking about myself first, learning more and more about Christ. And so I continue to learn the lessons from him directly through other people, and we mature, we grow. You know, God sends some people to water us, sends some people to fertilize us. They poop on us, so he'll use that as fertilization. Those people who we felt wronged by or done us wrong, or we got ourselves in some situations, if we tell the truth in some situations, if we tell the truth where we have gone where he told us not to, remember, he is helping. We have to take the help. And so for some of us who are Christians, but we look at someone who says they won't pray for a Christian, instead of the thought being, but you're supposed to be Christian, we are. We're not perfect, remember? A person who is a Christian and says they're not going to pray for another person, that's still a Christian. And a person who is Christian who said that they're going to pray for that person because that's the right thing to do, yeah, that's a person who's Christian who's trying to be more Christ-like too. So I've been in situations, especially being a woman of God, and as soon as someone wrongs us and we speak on it, even respectfully, is or call somebody on an untruth, it's, oh, and you're supposed to be a woman of God, or you're supposed to be a Christian. I am a Christian. I am a woman of God. I remember I told this woman who actually stole some things from me, if I wasn't a woman of God or a Christian, hello, you wouldn't be standing here. So you better be glad the Holy Ghost has me in a headlock right now, and I'm still trying to speak kindness and understanding and telling someone, you don't have to steal from me. You can just ask me. You don't even have to ask me. You can just tell me what you want or what you need. And if I have it, it's yours. So we're going to continue to pray for Christians who are really trying to grow more and be more like Christ. Let's stand together in the gap for each other so that we can really be more focused on standing in the gap for those who don't have that relationship to Christ yet. If people who don't have a relationship to Christ see Christian versus Christian, that's not a good look, right? So let's remember that we're human. We have fallen short, and we fall short of his glory. Every day of the week, every day that ends in day, we fall short. So if you have a day that doesn't, then good for you. But in this world, every day that ends in day, we fall short to the glory of God. But we don't get comfortable in it, and we don't use it as an excuse. We use it as the truth that keeps us balanced. And we focus on the fact that our help comes from the Lord to continue to be better and not bitter as we grow in this garden of his. Look, some of the scriptures that tell us, that remind us of what we need to do and remind us about different trees. And we're going to do that as well, trees and plants and flowers later on in the month, the beginning of next month, to ask you what type of plant or tree or flower are you, what it represents. For the lily, for example, represents, you know, being able to grow in difficult situations. Ivy can even grow in very strange areas. This seemed to be strategically placed by God, and that's why it's also good, you know, to know your name. We heard Carrie Job sing about the garden, and that was based on her niece who passed so not long after birth, and how that song was motivated by that loss. Again, Beauty for Ashes, a beautiful song, came out of such a tragedy and losing a niece at such a young age. Like, she hadn't even really fully started life yet. And so she has a great testimony in how her niece's middle name was Ivy, and it was so important for them to really know what that meant, because they moved to a home. Her family moved to a home after that, in a new home that did not include the baby that passed away, had Ivy all around it, but wasn't there when they first moved there. It just grew out of nowhere after they chose that place. Or should we say, after that place was chosen for them. And so it's good to know your name too. And they felt like it was God's way of letting them know that she was all right, that he had her, and that now she was in his garden. And that's what we want to focus on, being a part of God's garden. So we're going to continue to do that as well. We have prayer for Christians. We have prayers for President Trump. We have prayers for our government. We have prayers for America. And when we say God bless America, I have a habit of saying, and everywhere else too, because I am a proud American who is a veteran, but I am also a person of God, and I have neighbors who are in America and who are abroad. And so I am pro-America, but I am also pro-Africa. I am pro-Europe. I am pro-every continent in this world, because I am pro-people, because I am pro-God, and I want all of us to get to Christ. That being said, it's also time for us to pray and for someone to accept Christ as your own Savior. And if you want to do that, I know you've tried everything and calling everyone to help you with situations, or you're one of those people who doesn't call everyone and you think being a part of being strong or powerful is not to cry, not to reach for help. Not so. Jesus Christ, strongest person I know, when he was a person, he's even stronger than any of us. And he cried because it is a healthy thing to do. Reach for help in asking others to pray for him, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so if Christ, the one who ultimately intercedes for all of us, reaches help for prayer, why shouldn't we? So we pray on behalf of those who have a decision to make. And again, you can do that right now by simply saying, Lord, in your own way, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I know that you died for me, and I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Show me how to live this thing called life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. Find your way to a church home. If you know of some within your family, your friends, or your neighborhoods, then please, you know, go as the Lord tells you. If you don't, we're glad to help you here. Give us a call at 904-296-2251, and we'll do what we can to help you with that as well, and give you some of the names and places that we've actually visited more than twice to get a sense if they preach and teach and live the Word of God as best as we try. Again, no judgment. I don't have anything to say about any church in a negative way, but I can speak very positively on the ones that I have positive experiences of, and I share those with you. And it'll always be that way, in Jesus' name. I'm not here to disclose situations and people, but to hopefully help us all to improve and get to a better way of life. So let's do that. We're going to pray now. God, thank you for being so wonderful and beautiful. Thank you for helping us, even with these technical difficulties. We thank you for being God who prepares us, who gifts us. We thank you, dear God. We ask you to forgive us where we fall short. We ask you, God, to help us to focus more on being like you and not just what has become acceptable Christianity. We ask you, dear Lord, to continue to show us how to be a blessing to you, to your people, to continue to be a blessing to your kingdom. We ask you, dear God, to continue to help us to show you greater love, greater honor, greater respect. Help us to grow in your gardens, to know how to show it to other people without offending them or being so easily offended. Help us, dear Lord, to be like you, the Rose of Sharon, to be like you, the Lily of the Valley. Help us not to be anxious for anything that you're getting us through or to. Help us, dear God, and each and every person that lost life in Las Vegas tragedies and all of the tragedies that may not seem as major news, but they are certainly major to the people who lost those loved ones. We ask you to help us to love, to pay attention to you and what you tell us to do in your word and directly, because you're still speaking to your people. Help us, dear God, to pay attention to people approaching us that may just need an eye-to-eye look, that somebody sees them. Help us, dear God, to pay attention to our health, to take time to take care of these vessels that you have given us that are strong but also fragile. Help us, dear Lord, not to be afraid to go to a doctor, to go to her or to him, to think that if we don't go, we won't have to know if something's wrong, even though you're already telling us. Thank you for equipping our bodies to alert and alarm us when something's not right. Thank you for headaches that come when something's just off. Thank you for stomach aches that come to remind us how we need to govern ourselves. Thank you, God, that when even a growth comes here or there and is detected, that you have given us options to go and get help. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. And we also know that in addition to you healing directly, you have blessed and gifted the hands of people to lay hands on us to heal in that way. And we know that you also have blessed sisters and brothers to be doctors and surgeons and nurses to help and heal through medications and treatments as well. Help us not to try to be you as we try to be like you. Help us not to decide that we are owners of these bodies that you've given us, when truly you have made us only stewards. Help us to do better by your temples, by these fleshly vessels, so that we may give you the best of us for the rest of our lives. We love you and we bless your name. We also ask that you help President Trump and every leader in the world. We ask, dear God, that for that woman, for that man that's in a position of power on every level, in government, in churches, in businesses, help your people to do right by your people, that we all may be found righteous by you. Help us, dear God, especially those who are not just claiming, but really who are Christians. Help us to represent you well and to do as you said. If we see someone is an enemy, a projected enemy, a self-given enemy that we have no problems with, help us to pray for them and not engage in competition or adversarial ways with them. Help us, dear God, to love children who seem lost. Help us to love babies who have had babies. Help us, dear God, to remember our family first and not last. Help us to give our best to those who love us and who you have placed within our homes, and not just give them the rest of us. Help us who are in ministry, dear God, to truly have an active relationship with you, not just when it's time to preach or teach or sing a song, but help us to devote and have devotion with you on a daily basis. Help us as you continue to grow us and anoint us in ministry, not to think that it puts us above people, but help us to see that we should see ourselves below them, so that we can look up to you and to hold them in higher esteem, to serve you. God, help us to remember that Jesus' lowly example as a suffering servant was to wash the feet of the disciples, not to ask them to tie his sandals. Help us, dear God, to know that Jesus had disciples, not entourages. Help us to know that Jesus blessed and he was blessed, but he came to serve, and help us to do the same and not to ask people to always serve us. Help us to be true to your ministries and your vision, and not to be fooled by what is really in vision, what we want. Help us to ask you what to do, and help us to do those things instead of telling you what we want done and asking you to bless it in Jesus' name. We ask that you continue to be God, not that we have to ask. We ask because we want you to. We need you to. We thank you for being God. Because without you, God, we could not be as we are right now. Whatever state we're in, we would not be as good as we are. Even if we are struggling, it would be worse. But with you, all things are possible. With you, our beauty will be found in the ashes. With you, dear God, we know that you will replace the mourning that we have with comfort. With you, we thank you that you will clothe us with a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Help us in this world to be of your word. And in Jesus' name, we thank you.
The ultimate adrenaline rush.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
I can't.
Hallelujah. That's a whole nother garden playing right there. All right, this is Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica. We're going to get ready to close out now. But I want you to hear our poem that we're going to close out with, which is kind of the closing prayer for tonight. Thank you for just being with me tonight. Thank you for enduring the technical issues we have that are almost resolved now towards the end of the show. It's okay, though. Gave us more time to actually talk and take some more prayer requests by phone as well. So this is based on, I was watching the news and I felt Spirit of the Lord enter and I ran to the computer and just typed out what he was giving me. And so I'm sharing that with you. It's not edited or anything except what the Holy Spirit has given or done. So I'm just going to give it to you as it was given to me. This poem happened October 6th, about 5 a.m. in the morning. Yes, I am a pretty much all day person because of the Lord. So it's called Where is the Beauty in These Ashes? Where's the beauty in the ashes? Lord, we need you to show us. For as we understand more about this land, we can use those ashes to grow us. Where's the beauty in the ashes of people being massacred, sprayed with bullets and fear? Maybe it's in the faces of those who sacrifice their own graces to protect and help because they really care. Where is the beauty in these ashes of people missing, abused, and lives lost? Is it in the power that we should siphon every hour from the mightiest power of your blood-stained cross? Where is the beauty in these ashes of hurricanes, earthquakes, causing hope to hurt and faith to shake? Prayerfully, we will learn to live, love, and discern, and pay attention to one another more for our own and for God's sake. So where is the beauty in the ashes? Know that the beauty is that the Spirit of the Lord of God is still upon us to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn, to give us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that we may continue to be the trees of righteousness, the very planting of the Lord, that he and only he may be glorified. I pray that you be encouraged, that you stay encouraged, and that you encourage someone else. I'll be back here tomorrow, God willing, to be hopefully a blessing to the Lord and to you as you are to me and he is to all of us. I love you and continue to be safe.
The Ultimate Gospel Experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Cause this should have never ever happened to you. And maybe you've tried to let it go, but letting go just ain't never easy to do. And maybe you feel you'll end up with another broken heart, trying to face something that seems way too hard. But it's too hard to hold on to all of the pain, and it's too hard to relive it over and over again. It's too hard when the memories have control over you. Some say it's too hard to forgive. I say it's too hard not to. It's too hard not to. It's too hard not to. handle losing someone that you thought would be there. And maybe you're feeling anxious, 'cause it left you lonely, confused, and so scared. And maybe you feel you'll end up with another broken heart, trying to face something that seems way too hard. But it's too hard to hold on to all of the pain, and it's too hard to relive it over and over again. It's too hard when the memories have control over you. Some say it's too hard to forgive. I say it's too hard not to. It's too hard not to. It's too hard. Some things so senseless and some things so selfish, trying to come and tear your world apart. But someone so loving and someone so selfless will help you when you're ready to restart. It's too hard to hold on to all of the pain, and it's too hard to relive it over and over again. It's too hard when the memories have control over you. Some say it's too hard to forgive. I say it's too hard not to. It's too hard not to. I say it's too hard not to. It's too hard not to. It's too hard not to forgive. Lord, help me to forgive, because it's too hard not to.
The new Praise 107.9, W300CU Jacksonville, and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach, the ultimate gospel experience.
Same road, and all you want is someone to hear your bleeding heart overflowing with tears. I hear you say that nobody knows that you contemplate suicide was no joke, worthless inside, left with no fight. This can't be all, 'cause you still have life. I'm here to speak hope to you. If I made it, you can make it too. You may feel like life is over. I
all know the struggle's real, but you can let go, 'cause you're trusted with this fire.